This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
I swear I heard this song 3,000 times over the course of the weekend. I think ESPN and the NFL Network were using this song as their intro into basically every segment.
It's everywhere, right? Man.
It's everywhere.
It
Where
is
are
there.
You, Noodles? You're not sitting in your seat.
I'm sitting in my seat.
No, you're not. I'm looking at the camera right now.
I'm looking at the camera right now, too. I am not there. But it's so weird. Like, I'm sitting in my seat.
Okay.
I swear to God. Dude.
There he
is. I'm sitting in my seat. I sat down and I was like, why am I not seeing myself on the screen?
I'd rather they just leave it a blank chair for the next 2 hours. I think that'd be great.
That is so weird.
That was really weird. That was freaking me out. Like, for those of you listening on radio, so our setup here, we're all in our own homes. We're all in on an office in our house, our condo, and we have basically an iPhone set up on a tripod, and we're Skyping into the studio.
Yeah.
And we have a live feed that allows us to see ourselves and what we look like personally, but also the three boxes as to what is live on TV.
Right.
There he is. He's back. And now
I was sitting
Noodles
here the whole time, and I'm like, why is it not, like, why is it, like, it was so, it must have been frozen or something.
I guess it was.
You know what it is it's pulling, this camera is set up on the internet and on a data card. It should just be on data because the internet, if it starts acting up, then it's supposed to switch over. I don't know what's going on, but I'm turning the internet off on that phone.
Okay. Do I look like really red today?
You do.
Guys?
You got a little bit of the tomato head.
Why am I so red?
Furnace face. Did you go out in the sun?
Did
you go for a walk today? A little windy, a little fall burn?
Did you golf?
No, I didn't. I was outside a little bit with my daughter. I had her outside in the morning, and then we were out for a little bit. Yeah, outside, kind of standard procedure.
Little fall windburn. Love it.
Yeah, I'm like really, really red. And you know what I've noticed is everywhere's got pumpkins already.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
You know, it's already pumpkin season and Halloween season. And it's like right when the kids got back to school, they flipped over from back to school stuff to Halloween.
Dude, Halloween can't even happen.
Well, I think it's
I don't
going
know what's
going to
happen there. Yeah,
no,
that's...
you can't have Halloween. People that are... like Noodles, you think he's going to open doors for strangers to come and reach their grubby hands in and grab candy from his house? Don't even tell me anything different, Noodles. You're not opening the door.
I'm going to figure out maybe a pulley system where they ring the doorbell and I can pull a
fishing
string.
Rod. Just fire one out rod. There. Fire a bar out there. And just
I'm going to put up
back in.
Like I will put up like a VIP rope, and you can't come any closer. But
just
I
sit
will
sit on your roof and whip chocolate bars at people that walk up on the driveway.
I think it would be awesome. I am going to figure some form of system out. Although we're going to be on air.
No,
right?
That's the thing. It's a Saturday this
year.
Oh,
perfect. I'm going to sit on my step. I will have it roped off, and the kids can only come a certain distance. But I am going to have some form of a pulley system. How did John Horn used to eat with the Subway? Like, he just had a conveyor belt that just rolled right in, didn't he?
Right, yeah. The sports would get, horn. He'd get his, meat combo sub every day.
Exactly. Like, to me, I'm going to have a conveyor belt that puts out a little bit of candy, and the kids just pull it off of there, and away they go.
Not once did the sports horn ever decline the side chip, though.
Oh,
ever.
Always. It was always
Doritos.
A combo.
Doritos.
You know that.
He never said... would you like the chips, sir? He never said no. He
it was a cold cut combo, and it was a bag of chips and a pop. Never the cookies either. Like, never. Because the cookies are really good there. You get the option. And he always would roll in with his foot long and his bag of chips and his pop.
Yeah.
And
he'd
be back there. We'd just get on the air, and this guy would just start feasting. And it's like, can we grab that audio we talked about? Any chance we could, just ease
it
into it a little bit?
He would lie back on that chair, Dorito chips all over his chest hair, and he loved every second of it.
It was outstanding. It was outstanding.
We miss the sports horn.
We do. Yeah. Shout out to the sports horn. Yeah, we're always thinking about the sports horn. He actually sent me a text the other day because our boy – Miguel Angel Jimenez won on the seniors tour.
Oh, really?
And was chomping on a cigar afterwards. I think he had a glass of wine in the winner's circle. And He's still playing. And I don't think he'll be at Winged Foot this year. But can you do me a favor and stop answering people on Twitter about what I would shoot at Winged Foot? I can't do this again for another week.
Dude, I haven't answered anybody. Ryan Bolta, a colleague of ours, said, you think Hayes would blow it over 150 there? And I said, I think a single digit would shoot 150 there. That place looks impossible. You see the videos of the balls rolling off the greens, and it looks crazy.
Yeah, I don't see how that's going to be possible, though. Like, I've seen that one video out there. It's been circulating the past couple of days where someone throws a golf ball up to the top of the green and it drops all the way down to the bottom.
Justin Thomas said it best, Brian. It's a fair test of golf, obviously, but it only gets stupid if the setup gets stupid, because it's fairly soft out there. The greens are receptive. But if they want to put pins in places that are just ridiculous and it firms up and they set the golf course up impossible, then it gets stupid out there. Bottom line.
Yeah, and you can't have people putting like it's mini putt, right? You can't have some guy who rolls a pretty nice putt and then starts rolling back towards his feet.
Yeah. No.
In a U.S. Open, like, or any golf tournament. Like, that should not happen anywhere on any course anywhere in the world. But if you put too much backspin and you're hitting an approach shot and you spin it back and it falls off the green, that's on you. That's not on Winged Foot. That's not on the course or the superintendent. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. Are you preparing yourself for Winged Foot and these guys looking very human through four rounds on the weekend, or what?
Well, it's just what you guys are talking about. It depends how they set the track up, right? I mean, every year we see at the British Open, some announcer takes a golf ball and flips it off the tee and just like in his hand, underhand, and the thing rolls for 85 yards. But that's the way the courses are there. Here, it seems like they're going to take a beautiful old course like Winged Foot, and if they trick it up to a place where, you know, the guy's got a 3-footer. I mean, it's not like us donkeys putting on it. It's like these are the best players in the world. The guy's got a 3-footer, and he misses it on the lip, and now he's got 8 feet coming back up. Like, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not even the way it's supposed to be. So yeah. I will not miss much of it. I've got a pretty busy schedule here really not much. So I'm not going to miss anything anyway. I can't even think what's on my schedule.
Yeah, there is no schedule, basically.
I got to talk to you knuckleheads every day.
The finals are coming up, so you're going to have to talk about hockey at night, I would imagine, later.
Yeah, correct? I'm actually getting pretty good at, you know, the DeGero setup, guys?
Yeah.
I'm actually getting pretty good at getting my camera turned on and not needing 10 minutes of instruction. I'm down to about four, which is pretty
good.
That's
good. I'll tell you
so
what.
So I just did that.
Go ahead, Ray.
No, I said I just did that because I got to tape the Sports Center hit. So, I mean, Duffy will be out. I don't know what he's doing, playing with his dogs and taking pictures of the dogs. And then he'll pop on for the hit, and then he'll go back to the dogs. That's what kind of we wait for.
Thursday morning, 8 a.m., T. Woods on the tee. I will be bunkered down for 18 holes of that.
Okay, but Owen, so that's nice. That's pretend dedication by you. It's 5 a.m. for me.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You'll be up, too, though. You'll probably get
up. Oh, there's not a chance I miss that first tee shot.
Really?
Not a chance.
Oh, yeah.
You can't PBR that?
Like, you got to take advantage of Tiger. There's only so many more where you feel like he's got a real shot. Like, I don't think he's going to win this weekend, but...
Let me ask you guys
I could PVR, but I need the 3 hours before the kids get up for school and the mayhem starts.
That's fair. That's fair. You can watch it by yourself, but I'm concerned that Tiger may grab a glute.
Rough, his back will be getting tested. The glutes, they better be shooting, or someone is going to take a death stare. The superintendent better be running for his life.
Press conferences are the best. Oh, my glute wasn't firing, and my transverse something or other, and this and that.
It's like, Tiger, you sculled a chip, man. Like, that had nothing to do with your back at all, or your
Hayes,
glutes.
I'll ask you the question Justin Thomas was answered. You could take, going into this week, every fairway hit, or you made the most 8-footers. What will you take?
Fairway.
That's what he said. I don't know how you even thought about the same answer as Justin Thomas. But
well, I have two options, dude. It wasn't exactly like an extensive exam. He gave me two options, and I took the fairway because we've been talking about the rough so much, right? And eight-footers are...
If you can lie down across the fairway and cover the entire width of some of these things, man, I'd take the fairway every day. Those things are like hallways.
Yeah, it's like that's just a mind game that... We've all played courses where you're staring off the tee and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to hit this anywhere close to the fairway. Like, I'm looking at the fairway, but there's too much else around me that's throwing me off. And it's almost every tee shot outside of the par threes where, you know, it's you understand you're in trouble. Like, you're in real trouble if you don't hit a perfect tee shot.
Now, I played there when I was with the Islanders, so I don't have a great recollection of it. But if my memory serves, the last four holes – are just murder, and they're like tree lined obviously, but just narrow and long, and just think of the pressure those guys are going to feel trying to hit it, you know, like the needle in the hay, or the trying to thread the needle up there, and it's not like they can bunt out a rescue club. They got to hit it. They got to get it down there or they're too far away.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait. And I love the fact that the Masters are still a couple of months away.
I know, it's awesome.
Yeah, we got two big golf tournaments still to look forward to, and we got a hockey game tonight, and we got one team leaving the bubble. The Vegas Golden Knights are out, and Dallas, they found a way to storm back and survive, and they went in overtime again. And we were discussing the Sagan comments, and I guess we'll play this clip for you. I'm sure you've heard it, but he was asked about goal differential and how Dallas has been on the wrong side of that really throughout the playoffs. Yet they're in a cup final. And here's what Sagan had to say post-game last night.
It says analytics are overrated. no, I mean, it just says we find ways. We don't care. You know, in Colorado, it was kind of a goal-scoring match. And in this series, it's kind of more of our style of a 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, whatever may be match. So whatever the game brings to us, it's how we're going to play. And, you know, we just find ways to get the job done.
So that felt to me like... an impossible answer. What's he supposed to say? Colorado should be going to the cup final or Vegas? Like, how's he supposed to answer that without basically saying, cool stat, but I really don't care?
No, that might have been the more honest way of answering it, and I'm sure he doesn't care, and why would he? There were times there I thought, like, there's no way Dallas can get through giving up, you know, like getting outshot and outchanced and... And then pretty soon you realize they're not that dissimilar in a way from the Islanders in that they defend well. They, you know, they're getting amazing goaltending. I mean, Hudobin is, you know, their front runner for the Conn Smythe, I would say. Well, it's either him or Heiskanen. And then they just, they're kind of opportunist on whatever they, I didn't think they were going to be able to score like they have. That's been the biggest surprise for me, and I'll tell you, I had them out in my little playoff pool that we have at home here. I had them out in round two, so I didn't see this for sure.
No, I agree with you. I thought Vegas was a better team. I thought Colorado was a better team, but ultimately, it really doesn't matter. It makes no difference how you got here, and you don't have to explain yourself to anybody.
No.
You're there, and you should be happy. And I found the clip from DeBoer postgame about the Demko jinx really strange. And if you missed it, this is what happened after the game last night. He was being asked about their scoring issues, and Vegas had a tough time getting on the board. And here's how Peter DeBoer tried to explain it after the game last night.
You know, you have to credit Dallas for part of that for sure, and Dallas's goaltender for sure. You know, there's no doubt that the last couple of games of the Vancouver series against Demko probably rattled our confidence a little bit in that area as a group. Honestly, up to that point, I thought we were creating a ton of offense.
Does that hold weight? You know, you beat Vancouver, so why do they still factor into what happened against Dallas?
I would think I think what he's trying to say is that our big guys, the guys that didn't score in the last six games against Vancouver and all through this series, they got their confidence broken. Like, what are the chances Stone, Marchessault, Smith, Carlson, Pacioretty, they all go dry at the same time. Yeah. Like, you got to think, like, man, we got enough guys. Somebody's going to break out here. And none of them did. None of them. So what was their great strength and their, I would say, their difference maker to other teams became neutralized. And I don't know if you ever felt this or not, but, like, you know, you should be able to turn the page once the series is over. But if you haven't scored in a while, I think, like, for myself, I'd be like, damn, I haven't scored in 2 weeks here. I'm not helping anything.
Well, and you'd think when a new series, a new series starts, you would think, I mean, for me personally, I'm not having any haunting images of the last goaltender. I'm rejuvenated. I'm excited. I'm like, all I got in my head is I got the backup goaltender for the Dallas Stars. Regardless of how good he's playing, I always felt confident, and no disrespect to Jamie, but when I threw in the backup goaltender thing in there, I felt good about it.
Yeah, but it's not a disrespect. I mean, honest to God, like, if you're looking at it, who would I much rather face, a third liner, a fourth liner, or a top liner? Like, that's, like, when you look at it legitimately, like, that's the honest truth. That being said, I think Dallas did a really good job, to your point, Ray. I know they were giving up a lot of shots, but Hudobin wasn't facing four and five chances in tight. Like, they were giving up outside shots. I think Vegas dried up. A guy like Riley Smith, who hadn't scored in 11 games, you know, he scored last night. But, I mean, you know, it does get into your mind. And then all of a sudden, you get a guy like Hudobin who's standing on his head, and he does get into the mind of the other team going, okay, it's going to take a great shot to beat this guy, because it's almost like he was everywhere. And Tyler Seguin said last night, he goes, I haven't seen goaltending like this since Tim Thomas. And if you look at the comparisons between Anton Hudobin and Tim Thomas, just the body type, like, they're, you know, shorter grit grinders that didn't give up on pucks. It's not style points. It's about making saves. Both these guys are getting it done. The only difference is Timmy Thomas had an 18-month stretch there where I don't think there was a better goaltender on the planet. Hudobin's had a couple nice years where he's been in the platoon system, but he is a traditional.
Do you think
more
Bishop
of a two.
Will be sniffing around the bubble? Is he knocking on
against
doors
start.
Down
against
there?
Tampa? Start.
Against his former team, Tampa, that would know his no way. It's Hudobin.
I don't let him in the coach's office. If he wants to sniff around and give it the old, I think, no way. No
so
way.
You're not making a change from Gump Worsley here? This guy's on fire, man.
Yep.
How about when he's, you know, his gear doesn't look like it fits, that neck guard looks like it's too big. He's just fighting for air. Like, how could you not love the way this guy is playing? Hudobin's been outstanding. Like, he just, I don't know, this is his team right now. I mean, like,
it's definitely his team. And just the post-game comment, we got to play this quickly, because I'm sure you heard it right.
Oh, yeah.
But this is one we're going to be playing for years. I know when we come across a beauty, it gets into the archives, and it's going to stick around. Hudobin was awarded the player of the game in the room, and this was his response post-game last night.
We're not going home!
How do you not love that guy? You have to.
Yeah, he sounds like a really popular guy, and man, he's been awesome. The one thing is, like, DeBoer saying, you know, and I know he's frustrated, and it's right after the game, but saying, you know, what a crappy way to lose, and it's a stupid rule, and they didn't lose because Zach Whitecloud chipped the puck over the glass. No. They lost because they gave up two power play goals, and they had a 2-0 lead, and they couldn't defend it.
I love that rule.
That's why they lost.
I love that rule. I've always loved it. I've always appreciated the rule. And I understand why people don't like it if they're on the wrong side of it, but that's the rule. Make a play. Sometimes I get it. It's not meaningful, and sometimes you get burned where you feel like you're under pressure and you're trying to go glassing out. Sorry. Those are the rules.
Yeah,
you put it clean over the glass, then you should be penalized.
It's make cut and dry on that one. It's not goaltender interference. It's not subject to interpretation. It's cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a cut and dry rule that you know, you can't argue it. And you're right, Ray. Like, they had plenty of chances to win 2-0. And they gave up two goals in the last 10 minutes, shorthanded. You know, Vegas got to own that.
And they were down 3-1. It's not like it was game 7 last night. You know, like Vegas was fighting. They put themselves in a hole long before that puck went over the glass. All right, well, good luck with SportsCenter and Skype or whatever you're doing there. And
you sound like quite a techie right there, by the way.
Oh, I have no idea what's going on. This actually is probably a good little survey for the four of us. Apple had one of those big events today.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what they unveiled. No idea. I didn't
watch.
Wasn't
it 12? Wasn't it the phone? I was watching. The Tim Cook had the I thought it was.
That's
I thought it was class-winning, leading technology and stuff.
12.
Was it Rick Wilde from Chevy in Kansas City?
No,
is that who was unveiling the new gear?
No. Oh.
It combines class-winning, leading technology and stuff.
Tell me that's not a sales pitch for the iPhone 12.
It would be awesome.
We've got a new camera and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, like an iPad. What do they call it again? iPad. Yeah, those are cool. Okay, thanks, Tim. Good stuff. Tim Apple, as Trump would say. Here's Tim Apple.
That's right.
That's one of the great lines ever from him. Tim Apple.
I forgot about that. Tim Apple.
CEO of maybe the biggest company on the planet.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then. Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's Maple Toyota's birthday, and they're giving you the gifts this month. Buy any new vehicle and receive a free gift. Red tag savings continue with rates from 0%. Yeah, I thought it was an iPad and an iWatch or something that they were unveiling something new, but I didn't see any of it. If you're a tech geek, and that's what you're into. These are like the biggest. This is the Super Bowl, right? When Apple comes out with something new.
Oh yeah.
We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
There he is.
Wasn't it yesterday? Was like the 25th anniversary of like Windows 25 or Windows 95?
Yeah.
Where
the dance
did you
party.
See? Yeah, the dance. That is one of the greatest things visually ever.
Ever. They're playing
Ever.
Start Me Up by the Stones, which I guarantee you Mick Jagger's like just throwing up. He's like, that you're not why we wrote that track.
Is that where they're all on the stage?
Yes.
And they're boogieing to it?
I yes.
Love it.
And Steve Ballmer and like it. But those are like some of the richest guys on planet Earth.
It's Ballmer and Gates. It's the five most important people in Microsoft history that are
pretty
up there.
Cool. Pretty damn cool.
And they're getting hyped up, but it's all their own people. Like, it didn't even make any sense. Like, why are you up there dancing about something that you control and it's in front of your own
they
crowd?
They were pretty fired up. They were
it
fired up.
It was the
up.
Great. You think about that. Like, that was – that's repellent for a lot of things.
Oh.
But those guys, are the most – some of the most powerful people on Earth now.
Yes. Yes. Steve Ballmer is the richest owner in North American sports, and I don't think there's anyone that's even close.
No.
Like, I think he might be two times richer than anybody else.
Oh, Pretty damn cool!
And I hope he loses tonight. I can't wait. I am begging for a Denver Nuggets win tonight.
I think the Clippers win by 30 tonight. I really do. I think they win by 30.
Like, you think Denver wins tonight? Let's
I
think they got a shot. What's the spread, though? I didn't check earlier today.
I think Kawhi is going to be like none of this nonsense. I saw just before we came on a show in the States saying, who's the better 10? Who do you trust more? Murray and
Jokic?
Or George and Kawhi? Like, is that even a question?
No, it probably shouldn't be. It's more about Paul George. I mean, you have to trust Kawhi Leonard. I mean, more so than
anyone. I'll give you $200 if Denver wins. I get $100 if Clippers win.
Just straight money line, double my bet?
Yeah. You owe me a hunch if Clippers win. I owe you payable first tee tomorrow.
I don't know, man.
You're 37 under at the No Balls Open right now. You can't do it. You can't pull the trigger.
Well, because I think the Clippers are going to win. I'm saying I'm hoping that Denver wins tonight. I'm hoping for Jamal Murray, for Jokic. And I'll just be open and honest. I love Kawhi as a Raptor. I love it. I have no interest in seeing him win ever again. He could have stayed here. The fact is, if Kawhi stayed here, the Raptors are playing game one against Miami tonight. That's a fact. If Kawhi Leonard stayed in Toronto.
You're right.
They're playing Miami tonight. And he made that decision. It's totally his call, just like it's totally my call that I will always revere him as a Raptor great, and I never want to see him win again with the Clippers. So I'm all on. Call that petty. Call that a loser's race, loser's mentality.
You want it? You want that action?
I
payable tomorrow, 9:58 on the tee.
You know what? I'll take it.
No,
I'll take it.
You're throwing $100 out.
No,
you're
I'll take it because Jamal Murray from Kitchener, Ontario, basically Toronto. He's a Toronto kid. Is I think going to go off again tonight. Let's not forget what he did to Utah.
Yeah.
And the Clippers were up 3-1. Man, they had all the chances in the world to close this series out, and it never went down. Yeah, that's a silly. I know. I may have just burnt $100, but
well, you never know.
I'm getting 2-1 odds. I mean, those are pretty good odds for a game 7 where you're flipping a coin and anything can happen. I cannot confirm or deny that we have some confirm or deny. There will not be any confirming or denying of that. And Ryan Harris from Denver will join us on the football games last night, tee up the game 7 tonight. We'll get back into the hockey news, including a big signing in Minnesota. So what does it mean for other players on that team? What does it mean for Alex Pietrangelo? We'll tell you about that. We'll get into it as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ryan Harris will join us, former NFLer. He's coming up in about a half an hour. Get his takes on week 1 and get his take on Denver Clippers tonight. Go Denver. I am a Nuggets super fan, and they better not spoil this for me. Getting great odds. I feel good about it. Game 7 tonight. So we'll get to that. Cannot confirm or deny that we might get to some confirm or deny. Want to give a shout-out to our boys and girls out at Halifax Fire. I just got a text saying you got to give a shout-out. One of the houses, one of the halls out there watching and tuning in and big fans of the show. So all the first responders out in Halifax and throughout the country, for that matter, are always thinking of you. Shout-out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to give a shout-out.
I guarantee you they've got a great hockey team. Like,
yes.
You know they can play.
Brawls.
Oh, yeah. Tough. Like, and they'll go up against the cops. You know, the cops and the firemen, they go head-to-head. If it's a hockey game or basketball, you name it, it is. You're right. It's all in.
Yeah,
and
you're fighting for every inch out there. Elbows up, and you're grinding in the corners and the whole nine. So, shout-out to Halifax Fire and Ryan Harris again coming up. So we didn't get into this Jonas Brodin contract.
Man, is that rich. That is rich.
Very rich, man.
Six sheets a year. So what is – all I could think about is Tyson Barrie is a better player than him.
No.
Yes, he is. Tyson Barrie is better offensively, and that's what gets you stats, right? Like, this guy's
well, maybe 2 years ago he was. I can't put Tyson Barrie ahead of any type of defenseman right now after what I watched for a year. Maybe he bounces back something or other. I don't know.
Okay, so let me throw another name at you, T.J. Brody. T.J. Brody's a better player than Jonas Brodin.
I don't think so on that one either. Not for me.
What does Jonas Brodin do that makes him?
I thought it was very rich.
It is.
Sure,
very rich.
Yeah.
Like,
but it was interesting
how
Guerin explained it, though. Guerin explained it as he's an elite defensive defenseman. And you can trust that or not. You know, maybe you got to dig deeper into the game tape and the analytics on all that kind of stuff. But that was his description of the player, an elite defensive player, defenseman. And Bill Guerin in the Wild said they value that as much as they value goals going in. So
you know
they paid him.
You know who's a great defensive defenseman? Ben Chiarot. And Bergie got him for $3.5 million in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like that's I thought that was rich. Like,
so what's Pietrangelo thinking when he stares at Brodin getting 7 years at $42 million?
Don't you think he's looking at the Yossi deal? We've said it from day one. I'm looking at the Yossi deal, and it's like I want the same thing. Men. I don't care about COVID. I don't care about cutbacks. I want the Roman Yossi deal, and he deserves it. Maybe a splash more. I don't know, but that's the deal I'd be looking at.
Yeah, based on timeline, I would say he was supposed to get more. Just because whenever you come up the next year, cap is supposed to go up. And I would argue, you know, Pietrangelo is just as important to his team. You can make a decision on who you like more. I mean, Yossi's a great defenseman, and he the numbers he put up this year were off the charts. But Petro's the captain.
Yeah.
He won
and
the
it's
cup.
So frustrating, Brian, when it's your time to shine. It's like he's been waiting around for this moment. Unrestricted payday. It's his time to have that blockbuster deal. You could probably argue he's right in line with making a Doughty contract or a Carlson contract. Like I think he's that good of a player. And then all of a sudden, the talk comes about. It's like teams are going to tighten up here. You're just like, in your head as a player, you're like, screw that talk. this is my time to get paid, and you can take your talk about tightening up and everything else and shove it, because the guy wants to get paid and he deserves it.
He might have to fall through and leave. That's the ultimate decision you have to make if you're a guy that was drafted by the team, has been there forever, is the captain. I believe he's married to a local girl.
Yes, you're right. If he wants to make that, he might have to be committed to get that somewhere else.
Mm. Well, I'm just trying to look at, when did Doughty and Carlson get that money? It wasn't at 20. It wasn't at 30
years ago. It was a couple years ago.
So
but it was
they were at 27, 28 years old. Like, that's the difference, too. Pietrangelo is 30, I believe, correct?
Yep.
29.
Isn't he
28 or 29 years old?
No. I think he's 30, coming 31 in January. I'd have to look. I'm going to look it up right now. But I think Pietrangelo is a year or 2 years older than Drew Doughty.
I think he's
Carlson.
The Tavares draft, wasn't he? I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's around 30.
He's 30 years old. He'll be 31 January 18th. So when the NHL starts back up, he'll be 31 years old.
Yeah, so when his contract kicks in, he's 31. So if you're giving him 8 years, you're giving him, basically all the way through his 30s, and you're asking for trouble on the back end.
Yeah. That just changed my whole thought process on those couple years. They're a lot, man.
Well, they are, but let's just say it's not the St. Louis Blues. So now you're looking at 7 years, and you're looking at Pietrangelo is an elite defender. He's an elite, everything. Like, I agree. I love him. He's a great leader. He deserves to get paid. All the above, what you were saying. Oh, it's just, where's the fit? Who's going to have the money for him? Does St. Louis want to keep him? Did they move Jake Allen out to have some money for him? Are they using Justin Falk as a backup, potentially? Justin Falk, they traded for him and immediately extended him. The guy barely played for the St. Louis Blues. Like, that's one that was crazy for me. You've got
that was rich, too.
It was very rich.
It was like six and a half or something.
Yeah, $6.5 million on a 7-year deal for a guy who'd barely played for your organization, where you've got the captain of the organization that leads you to a Stanley Cup, and you're struggling giving him that deal.
It feels like Stamkos 2.0. That's what it feels like to me. It's actually a carbon copy. Both top five picks, both captains, both only know one spot, both a lot of success in both spots. And Steve Yzerman told Stamkos a few years ago, this is what you're getting. This is what we have. Feel free to leave if you want. It's right here for you. We're not going to give you more, but we're also not going to hold it against you and give you less. Like, it's sitting here for you. You figure it out. And eventually Stamkos went crawling back. And I can't imagine he regrets the decision. I'm sure he's very happy to be still in Tampa. But I would assume that is kind of a similar pathway to what's happening with Pietrangelo in St. Louis. We're up against it. We got a very good team. We want to run it back again. We can give you 8.5. I'm sure another team is willing to give you 10. So which one matters to you? Staying home, staying here, maybe having to check your ego at the door.
Yeah, you're right. It's the exact same scenario, Brian.
Or leave it.
It is. It is. And sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side. You sign a monster deal and the expectations, and you don't settle in, and maybe the team does, like, to me, there's, you're taking a chance if you leave that organization. He knows exactly what he's capable of and what to expect in St. Louis. Now, maybe he's up for that challenge. Maybe, he's sitting there saying, this team hasn't shown me the respect I deserve. Why did you trade for Justin Falk instead of signing me that deal? To me, there's a lot of different factors that I'm not privy to any of that information.
We're going to find out relatively soon, because we're less than a month away from free agency opening. It opens on October 9th, and generally a guy like that makes up his mind sometimes within hours, other times within, I would say, days at most, because teams are going to have to move quickly, and they want to know where your head is at, including St. Louis. And I guess the same thing applies with Taylor Hall. And, Taylor Hall, the shine has kind of come off him a little bit over the past couple of years, based on injuries, based on marketplace, New Jersey and Arizona, not exactly, Vancouver and Montreal. But he's going to want to get paid, too. And I'm sure he's looking for a 7 or 8 year deal at, I don't know, $8, $9, $9.5 million, give or take, whatever it is, maybe 10, 10 and a half, 11. I don't know what he'd be asking for. But he's going to have his Hart Trophy on the table, and someone's going to pay him. His agent will find a team that will give him a boatload of money.
Well, I think he knows he I mean, does he have the offer in Arizona and you go out shopping, or does Arizona say it, that the offer's gone if you don't sign it by this date? Like, to me, you have to force the agent to make the decision or force the player to make the decision. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not the fallback. You either come to us or you move on, and don't come back to us if the marketplace isn't as strong as you thought it was. Like, it'd be interesting to see what Taylor Hall's marketplace is for that player.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, I think he's more interesting than Petrangelo in a way, because, you know, Petra, you know who you're getting, what you're getting. You know, he's a right shot defenseman. He's a true number one. Taylor Hall's a kind of a different beast and plays a bit of a different style, and he's had some injury problems himself past couple of years, so we'll see. We're less than a month away, I think, from finding out what's going to happen with NHL free agency on October 9th. Ryan Harris coming up in about 25 minutes. I cannot confirm or deny what we'll get up to next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact a segment.
Boston trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, here we go. Confirm or deny. Very creative, very unique.
It's my favorite thing on earth.
It's such a great intro. The Fergie, I cannot confirm or deny anything.
Nothing. I like the Duffy question. Do you regret giving any of those gentlemen the no trade clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny.
Shut up!
I think he's still in the running. There's going to be some gigs available once everything
settles
down.
I
can neither confirm or deny that.
Well, I can.
Stop it with the, like, it's how many GMs does Fergler get the toss in and then it's over with? Like, stop it. He's not getting the job.
Well, I can't confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
All right, confirm or deny. Big Ben Roethlisberger will start every single game this season for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Deny. I just think he just gets folded over. And it's like he's not that evasive back there. Someone's going to get to him. He loves his front line, but I don't know. He grabbed his leg during a run. I just think he looks like – I thought he looked really good, and I thought the team looked good. I love the Steelers. I love what they're all about, and I love their coach, by the way. But I just think he's going to get hurt somehow. You know what it's like, Hayes. When a guy that age, it's like your arm and then your knee and then your ankle, and all of a sudden something just happens, and you fold over on your knee, and it's game over.
He's got some mileage on him. I'm going to deny, even though I want to confirm it. I just think there's a lot of mileage there. Yeah, I don't think he plays all the games, but he may be nicked up one or two.
Yeah, I think I'm likely going to have to deny across the board here. I think and I hope for his sake and the Steelers' sake, he's just ready to play come the playoffs, because that felt and looks like a playoff team to me. You know, right. I think Baltimore is a little bit better, but it's close, and I think Baltimore and Pittsburgh are both going to get there. But he always misses games. I mean, the guy had Tommy John. He's standing on the sideline with an armband the size of the state of Pennsylvania. And he's limping all the time. He's got ice bags everywhere after the game. He's Jake Taylor from Major League. And he's holding on. And I thought he played really well last night. I think he will continue to play well. But I can't see him starting every single game during the regular season. I have to
deny that. Hopefully they get a nice run cooking and he can give them some load management of some sort. What that would look like, I don't know.
The problem is Baltimore's going to be right there with you, right?
No kidding.
So you got to win those games.
Ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that leads us to our next one. The Cleveland Browns will beat the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. Confirm or deny?
I'm going to confirm that because I think Cincinnati.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker's going to get hot.
Baker's going to get hot. Yeah. Bad call. Bad decision.
Bad call.
Oh, bad call.
I love that guy. Where the hell is he? Where did he land on his feet?
I don't know. I think he's waiting for Randy Ambrosi to call him and give him a job in the CFL. Yeah. But
I'm
going to
confirm that. I think you said Cincinnati-Cleveland play, right?
Yep.
Thursday Night Football.
That's right.
I think Cincinnati Baker Mayfield needs to be a hero and be all over the post-game presser with his stupid outfits and whatever he does. I confirm they do it.
Yeah, I'm confirming too. I think
they are. I got to confirm it as well. And I think what you just said, oh, is so right, is he's going to be on the set after the game.
Yeah. This is what we're all about. This is what – it's just like, come on, dude.
You they'll know. Beat the Bengals by three, and he'll be like, this is all we needed. Now the wheels are in motion.
Yeah,
and
we're going to shut the haters up. And he's going to be a hero.
He's going to have this classic line, too. We always had the belief. We just have to go out there and do it. And tonight we did it.
Yeah, we did it. We know we're a really good team, and we're going to carry it from here.
Yeah, that's all we needed.
Yeah. Confirm or deny, the Denver Nuggets storm back in the series and beat the L.A. Clippers tonight.
Deny. Confirm.
Jamal Murray from the greater Toronto area.
Tonight. They're going to lose by 30 tonight. I guarantee it.
Ball Who else does is not playing? Go in the air. Ball does not go in the air tomorrow until that money is exchanged.
Okay.
That is a fact.
That's fine. I might have to go back and start calculating. I'll listen to the podcast all night. I'll find out where you're at. Because Beansy, I think I'm still chasing you a little bit, but that's fine. That's fine. And listen, that better go the other way, right? When Denver wins tonight, because I'm confirming it. This is deja vu to what happened against Utah. And Kawhi's won his titles. Kawhi's in a bubble. Kawhi's going to be Kawhi tonight. I don't know if Paul George is going to show up. I don't know if Doc Rivers is going to choke a game away like he has in the past in these situations before. And outside of George and Kawhi... I know a lot of people weren't watching the game over the weekend because there was so much else going on. The rest of the team was an absolute disaster.
They were.
Like, nobody stepped up for the Clippers. Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, nobody. Montrezl Harrell. Like, they need help beyond just those two guys because I think Murray will get his shots off tonight. And I think Jokic, I mean, he's just that standard piece that gives you 20 and 12 and kind of plays a smart YMCA old guy type of game. So I'll confirm it. I'm on the Nuggets tonight.
Wow.
Well, I have to be based on the bet more than anything. But confirm or deny, both Nick Nurse and Masai Ujiri are still with the Raptors in 5 years.
I'm denying it. I really am. Something is weird. Not weird. That's the wrong word. You mentioned, I think it's Masai. I think Masai has his eye on other things. Like you mentioned it before, politics and some of the things that he's involved in. I think for some reason he gets poached and he may move on to, for lack of better words, because it's not, but it's bigger and better things or other things.
It's more about a unique opportunity,
correct?
Right?
Yeah. I'm trying to word it.
Yeah, it's not bigger and better things necessarily, but it's about maybe a different challenge, and maybe he feels like he's done everything he possibly can in Toronto.
A different platform.
Yes, well, a different platform. And I don't think it's a lock that Nick Nurse is here for five years, just based on the history of the position. I mean, coaches, they get hired to get fired at some point. You know?
Well, and where do you think the Raptors are, like, a year from now? Are they going to – even Josh said yesterday, he's like, you know, this team could take a step back next year. Kyle Lowry's getting older. You know, is Spicy P going to have a step back? Does Fred sign here? Like, this team could take a step back. So 2 or 3 years from now, they may not be as good, and they move away from the coach.
Yep. That has happened before with other guys where you're like, how is that possible that coach who did that with that team – could be on the hot seat, but it always seems to happen. Confirm or deny that Alex Pietrangelo signs a contract worth at least a cap hit of $9 million per season. $9 million per minimum for Petro.
I want to confirm it, but deny it. I may deny it. Just he might sign with a real high eight in St. Louis. You know, you talked me into the Stamkos position that if he ends up, I'm not convinced he goes back to St. Louis, that may look like something with an eight in it. If he goes anywhere else, for sure, it's north of nine. So I don't know. Where is he? Is he going to stay or go? Like that's
I'm going to deny it because I think it could be like 8.75 and he stays in St. Louis.
Right. You know? He deserves it, the high number, but I don't think under the circumstances it's a deny all day.
Yeah. It feels like the Blues have basically told him, you know. Like, I think if they had 9+ on the table, he'd probably have signed it by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, who knows? We're talking like this and all of a sudden, you know, he signs with the Leafs for a massive deal. Who knows? Like,
well,
we just don't know.
If he's coming here, the Leafs would have to give him more than 9. I mean,
correct.
I think that's...
Oh, come on. They can't afford that nonsense, dude.
No,
come on.
I'm not trying to start a rumor here. I just said...
But if he's a UFA and he's, you know, he's from Toronto...
Yep. He's a Toronto guy. I think he grew up in
Young and Bloor area, something like that, right in the heart of the city. He's a good Toronto kid.
He's a great guy.
He's from King City, you idiot. He's from King City.
King City?
Yeah.
Well, that was amalgamated years ago. That's a part of the Toronto City Council now. I mean, we'll take you in, We'll take you in King City. I've already bothered everyone in Kitchener for claiming that Jamal Murray's from the GTA. So I'll do the same thing with Petrangelo.
No.
Why not?
King City.
Okay, King City. All right, we got a couple more we'll get to in the next hour. Okay, one about the Jays and the Yankees. We got one about the U.S. Open. One about Halloween, because we were talking about that earlier. A confirm and deny, will Halloween actually happen in any form this fall? So we'll get to that more in the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson. You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.